Listen, I have come to wage war in the heavenlies this morning. I'm not here this morning, and please hear me, I'm not here this morning to play games. I'm not here just to give you another message. I'm here to wage war in the heavenlies. For I believe that this morning, every fear, and fear comes in different forms, you know. There's a lot of ways that fear comes in. Many people struggle with fear and don't even know they have fear. You know, many people in today, let's call it the 21st century, people have a fear of acceptance. People want people to accept them. People's got a fear of rejection. Come on, people's got a fear of heights. You can't claim back, honey. It's a fear. People's got a fear of finances. People's got a fear of making a new move, starting a business, or getting a new job. Come on, wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Fear comes in different forms, in different ways. People's got a fear about the future, a fear about the past, a fear about eternity, a fear about sickness. Hello? People's got a fear about money. People fear money. So there's fears that comes in different forms. Come on, I want to ask ladies, help me out. You feel something in your breast, suddenly fear grips you. Satan tells you it's cancer. Help me out, guys, come on. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, and you've got a fear. You live in South Africa. You fear about the future. But let me quickly just explain this to you. Something profound that the scripture says, that God has not given you a spirit of fear. I'm not speaking to your neighbor now. I'm speaking to you. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He has given you the spirit of Christ that reigns within your heart. You don't have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You have within you the capacity to change the whole world. But one thing that needs to change, you need to be delivered of fear this morning. I'm looking at people this morning that has made the boat their comfort place. But by the power of God, I declare to you that you are coming out of that boat. I want you to read on the screen with me. I left my fear on the boat. I want you to say this out loud. I left my fear on the boat. Let's do that again. I left my fear on the boat. Come on, one more time. One more time. I left my fear on the boat. And this is what you're going to do this morning. Your fear will be left on the boat. There's no more place. Come on, tell that fear, you've got no more place in my life. Come on, say this again. Fear, you've got no more place in my life. I'm going to read you a passage just now. Before we're going to get to the passage, I want to just quickly teach you on something. The Bible speaks about Jesus that walked on the water. And we all know the story. But something that had happened before the story happened, I wanted to teach you. If you go to Galilee today, Galilee is surrounded with mountains. You can go onto any mountain and overlook the whole Galilee. You can see the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is not known as a sea that faces storms. You'll never see storms on the Sea of Galilee. But something happened before we're going to read the scripture. The Bible says that Jesus performed a miracle. There was loaves of bread that was giving out, and fish, and there was just more than enough. And then Jesus did something. He almost made his disciples to get into a boat and to cross to the other side. He even said to the disciples, don't worry about the people. I'll get rid of them. I'll let them go. But I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get into the boat and cross over. And the scripture says Jesus did something. When the people left him, he was all alone. Please say all alone. And the Bible says, then he went up on a very high mountain. And what did he do on that high mountain? He didn't go to bed and sleep. He was praying. And something gloriously happened. When the storm struck, Jesus saw the storm on the sea by sitting on the mountain. The mountain that he sat on overlooked Galilee. By the way, before we're going to read the scripture, the disciples weren't the only people in boats. There were a lot of boats that night. But the scripture says that the disciples were already in the middle of the sea when the storm came. Now let's read the scripture quickly. Get the scripture on the book of Matthew chapter 14. I want you to follow this with me. I want you to write some stuff down this morning. Matthew 14 verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Did you see the Bible says immediately Jesus made them to get into that boat. I want you to say with me, Jesus made them. Come on, say this again. Why do I tell you to say things after me? Because that's when it touches your heart. That's when you are reminded. Jesus actually made them get into a boat. Why? Because God always has a plan. I declare, it doesn't matter what you face this morning, God has a plan. I want to talk to you in this block. Nothing that you face will come unnoticed. God will never allow anything to touch your life unless He knows and approves of it in Jesus' name. And I declare to you, God is making you rowing out on that boat this morning. Do you know why? Because faith is not built on the shore. God is going to build your faith in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm. He will allow you to get out of that boat and walk on the thing that was supposed to drown you. Is somebody listening in this place? Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat. Go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now, when evening came, He was alone there. Now, I want you to pause there for a second. Woo! For Jesus prayed. His whole lifestyle, His whole ministry was a lifestyle of praying. When you pray, you don't see the storm. You walk on the water. This is the reason why Jesus didn't doubt about the storm. He didn't worry about how big the waves were. Let's go on. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Just pause there. Just go back. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. You know what the word contrary means? That the wind was fighting. The wind was opposing. Please say with me, fighting. Say opposing. I'm speaking to people who has been fought and who has been opposed. Lift your hands. Wave at me. If the storms of life has been fighting you and opposing you, and let me just quickly tell you something. Do you know what the wind comes to fight? Do you know what the storm of God comes to oppose? The Word of God. I'm going to teach you something profound out of the Scripture this morning. But the Bible says that the wind was contrary. The wind was fighting and the wind was stopping. Trying to stop them. Trying to kill them. Let's go on. Now in the fourth watch of the night, by the way, the fourth watch means it was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. It was dark. Say with me, it was dark. By the way, I'm throwing this free of charge. Somebody needs to hear this. When your life is at its darkest, there's the biggest breakthrough ever about to burst through. You can't stop. You can't stop. If you're waiting and watching for breakthrough when everything is sunny out, you're never going to get breakthrough. Breakthrough comes when everything around you is pitch black and it seems like your life is just falling apart. Hold on. I said, hold on. You're not supposed to throw in the towel. You're not supposed to say, I surrender. You're supposed to push through and say, my greatest days are still ahead of me. I'm not backing down now. I'm taking my victory. In the fourth watch of the night, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Pause there for me. Powerful. He was sitting on a mountain praying, and He overlooked them, and He saw them in the middle of the sea in a storm. What I love about this, Jesus always locates His people in the middle of the storm. He doesn't leave you. I think that you're missing me now. You know, I'm going to teach you this. Just keep it on. The book of Matthew and Mark speaks about this. Luke doesn't speak about this. And then the book of John speaks about this instance again. All three of the Gospels I'm bringing together. All right? The three Gospels. I'm teaching you something together. The book of Mark says something and then the book of John says something again. What so powerful is this, they weren't the only people in the boat. And this is the problem with people today. I can share word over and over and over. Until you make it your own, it will not change you. The word needs to challenge you. When it challenges you, it will change you. I'm going to challenge people this morning. Is that fine? I said, is that fine? So you have to put your finger in one ear and make sure when the word comes in, you make it your own. Because next week, you don't want to fight the same battles. You want to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. So there was many boats in the middle of the ocean. But the scripture says that Jesus was walking towards them. Need I remind you that it was dark? It was 3 a.m. in the morning. How did Jesus knew out of all the boats who belonged to Him? This is why you need to understand this. It doesn't matter what you face. Christ will locate you at where you at. You don't need to be up on that mountain. You can be in the middle of the storm and Jesus Christ will still get you and still save you. He could have stopped at any boat, but He decided to stop at your boat. He decided to make sure that you are at peace. Listen, it doesn't matter what you face. The storm is huge, but your God is much bigger than the storm. So Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Please say with me, walking on the sea. Let's go on. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. And they were saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Why did they cry out? Because of fear. Fear gripped them. Fear will make you do simple things. Fear will cripple your eyesight. Fear will kill your vision. The Bible says when they saw Jesus walking on the water, the first thing that they say, it is a ghost. Well, I tell you this by the authority of the Holy Ghost, that it ain't no ghost, it's the Holy Ghost. What you're about to experience ain't no ghost, it's the Holy Ghost. What you're about to experience is not just for show, but it's for the throne. I'm going to read this whole scripture quickly, and then we're going to go back to the first verse. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying he was a ghost, and they cried out for fear. Let's go. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Listen, I'm going to teach you something this morning that is going to baffle your mind. Command me to come to the you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So let's go from the start. All right, I want to read that now. Just go on to the start. Let's start from the beginning. The first verse. There we go. So immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. God was orchestrating a miracle. Miracles cannot happen unless the first ingredient is found. And the first ingredient to the miraculous is the impossible. God had to, now I'm preaching to somebody. God had to create something impossible for them to see the supernatural. Who's here this morning to see God do something impossible, something supernatural? Well, your first ingredient is the ingredient of impossibilities. Jesus would have left his disciples to get rid of the crowds. But this instance, Jesus says, I want you to get into that boat and I want you to do it immediately. I want you to get to the other side. I'll deal with the crowds. And he was there alone, dealt with them, and went on praying. But what he did was, I believe with all of my heart, when Jesus was praying on a mountain, he was praying for his own. He was praying for those who's battling a storm out there. Amen, for God knows his own. By the way, if you know this or not, Jesus is alive today to intercede for us forever. He's praying while we are facing the storms. He's interceding. He's alive in heaven this morning to pray for you, to pray on your situation, to pray for your family. Jesus did the same thing back then. Come on, I want to speak to your spirit, man. I don't want to speak to your flesh. I'm speaking to your spirit, man. God is orchestrating a miracle. You better get into that boat and allow God to be God. My God, I'm going to preach to this crowd here. I think they want a word. Oh, I like that. Do you want the same word this morning? Can I hear you? Oh, maybe you on this side. Can I hear you? How much do you want the word? How much do you want the word? Can I say this again? God is orchestrating a miracle for you as we speak. Stop fighting God and let God be God. Somebody needs to jump up and get into that boat, first of all. Whoa, you cannot get out of the boat unless you're in the boat. You better get in the boat first. Come on, I want you to shout, I'm getting in the boat. Come on, I'm getting in the boat. Take your seats and hear me. You cannot get out of the boat unless you've been in the boat. I'm speaking to people who have been in the boat now for a while. And on course to where God has sent you, you've got no cooking clue how you're going to get there. Everything is against you. All odds are against you. Wave at me if you have odds against you. Wave at me if you have people that's against you, trying to stop the move of God in your life. Wave quickly. Well, God is orchestrating a miracle. I can't say this enough. God is orchestrating your miracle. I'm going to try that again. God is orchestrating your miracle. Your family is not dying in that boat. God is orchestrating, taking you from glory to glory. You don't know where the boat will go. You don't know what you'll face on the sea. That's not your business. Your business is to have faith in God, knowing that He can do all things that He has promised. I'm speaking word to you. He is faithful. He's not a man that He can lie. Whatever He declares shall never come back void. If it's in His word, it is yours. I declare to you in the name of Jesus that the boat might even break, but you will not lose your life. It will just take you from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Well, you're going to see something is going to shift in this place because fear is going to run. There's deliverance coming to your house this morning. Fear is about to break in Jesus' name. Let's go to the next verse. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went on a mountain by Himself to pray. Most of the biggest battles you'll fight alone. Now when evening came, He was alone there. Let's go. Next one. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I want you just to pause there. By the way, if a boat sails, a boat needs the wind, and the boat needs the waves. Otherwise, the boat ain't going nowhere. God will allow the wind to come, not to kill you, but to take you into direction. Hallelujah. The waves will not kill you. The waves will just push you into your destiny. Because there's people here in your gemakzone. And God's going to get you out of that comfort zone. God's blessing is never in a comfort zone. God's power is never in a comfort zone. God's glory, God's presence is never in a comfort zone. God's presence is always found outside of the religious camp. God's glory will never be revealed in the comfort. God is moving. God is walking on the sea and people don't even recognize Him. I'm getting there. Oh, I'm getting there. The Bible says, but the wind was contrary. The wind tried to stop and fight what God has ordained for them. What did Jesus say to them? I want you to go row to the other side. The other side, I declare to you, that other side is the land that overflows of milk and honey. It's the land that overflows at more than enough. But fear is a liar this morning. I say to you, fear is a liar. And fear's voice will be made silent today in the name of Jesus. Fear is a liar. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Nothing of fear is truth. There's no truth connected to fear. So Jesus said, I want you to row to the other side. And what happens? The Bible says the wind is contrary. The wind fight anything. The wind will fight anything that has purpose. If you have been fought lately, it's not because God has left you. It's because you carry purpose on the inside of you. There's something that Satan cannot stand. This is why the attack is on your household. This is why the attack is on your finances. Satan understands who you are. And the wind will fight anything with purpose. Your purpose is not to sit still in the middle of the lake. Your purpose is to row over to where God has ordained for you to be. I'm speaking to a handful of people this morning that says, I'm leaving my fear in the boat. I'm getting out. Come on, I leave Him all the control up to Him. The wind was contrary. I want you to say the wind was contrary. The wind was fighting, the wind was stopping, the wind was trying to push them and shake them to their core. Next verse says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea between 3 and 6 a.m. Let's go on to the next one. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, He's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. Just pause there. This is exactly, now I need to speak to the real people. This is what fear will cause you to do. Fear will kill the vision. When you struggle with fear, when fear grips you, you no longer see Christ. You see death. You see, the first thing that they say was, this is a ghost. Oh, this is a ghost. And the Bible says, what made them shout? What made them cry out? Fear. Fear will make you do stupid things. Fear will cripple your dreams. Fear will keep you in that boat. Fear will see, make you see things that there never is. I can just imagine. Can you imagine that conversation in that boat? That night when Jesus walked on the water, Thomas had to say, I can just think about Thomas. Somebody kill me now. This is a ghost. I told you, He's not going to save us. Just kill me now. Judas was pickpocketing everybody. While Thomas was shouting, Judas was busy in his wallet. Can you imagine this? And the disciple John, he was just saying, oh, love conquers all things. Matthew, the tax collector, was somewhere and said, hey brother, did you pay your tax? I see this big achter. You know? And Thomas, ah! It's a ghost. This is what fear will do. Fear will grip your vision. It will cripple you. It will cripple your destiny. This is why they couldn't even see the Son of God walking on the water. But by the power of God this morning, what was supposed to kill you, you will walk upon. The very thing that you were supposed to drown in, you will have authority over. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe it, give him 30 seconds of crazy praise in this place. It's not over until God says it's over. The storm of life is not going to stop me. Somebody asked me, what is the greatest compliment that you ever received from any person? I said, the greatest compliment Vessel du Brain ever received is being persecuted for the name of Christ. That's the greatest compliment anybody can receive ever. You don't want to hear you're a great preacher. The greatest compliment is to suffer for his name's sake. A storm will just reveal his glory through me. Oh, hallelujah. You cannot say, send somebody in a fire or add, listen, when you pressure the anointing. This is how the anointing is forged, in the fire. That's how it's created. When heat is applied, you shine, brother. Somebody listening to me? I said, somebody listening to me? You better tell your wife, when we leave this church, fear is not coming home. Tell your husband, no longer will fear grip us in Jesus' mighty name. So the Bible says they saw him walking on water and they shout out he's a ghost. Most people in the 21st century, when God starts to move in churches today, they say it's a ghost. Oh, this is a ghost. This can't be God. You know, when you are sinking in life's storm and God sends the Titanic, get in. Don't wait for another boat. Do you hear me? Don't wait for another one. It ain't no ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Say with me, it ain't no ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. I think to myself that Thomas wanted to shout, get the Ghostbusters. Somebody called the Ghostbusters. It's a ghost, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. And fear stopped them of seeing the victory. Jesus didn't say, I want you to row out, stand in the middle of the sea, and wait there. No, he said, I want you to cross over. And the minute Satan sends opposition, they stopped and they started crying out because fear has gripped their hearts. Young people, you better hear me. God says in his word, as clear as day, that I know what I have planned for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Parents, you better hear me. Your children are safe in the hands of God. There's nothing that can come against them that God does not have covered. Are you hearing me? God isn't saying to you and your family, stay in the middle of the sea. He says, row over while I fight the fight on the mountain. Yeah, you didn't hear me. God said, go and row over while I fight the fight on the mountain. I don't want you to fight. I want you to row over. When God saw them fighting, what did he do? Jesus said, oh my goodness, let's just go down there. I'm not taking a boat. I'm walking on the water. Let's go on. When they saw Jesus, they cried out for fear. They didn't say, my God, thank you for saving me. No, it's a ghost. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I'm speaking to somebody right now. I don't think you hear me. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Let's go on. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Just pause there. 12 disciples in a boat. There might be more. There might have been more that night. It isn't a state fact that it was 12 disciples that night. Many people that followed Christ, there was a 12 that was close to Jesus. But with the disciples, there was even ladies among them. So I'm going to speak to you about 12 disciples in that boat. What Peter had to hear in that boat, I want you to take this far with me quickly. Just think far. The shouts that went on that boat. Not everybody that's close to you is assigned to you. Not everybody that's around you wants to see you go crossing to the other side. Many people around you will distill fear in you. They will take you to a place where fear is. Like Thomas, oh my God, this is a ghost. I told you we should have stayed on the shore. I think Peter wanted to smack him. Did you hear the Lord say, get over? Build a bridge and get over yourself. Amen? But think about the shouts when fear made them to cry out. Now, what I love about this, the disciples knew the water. They were great fishermen. In actual fact, if you study the Hebrew language, you'll see that Peter was actually a rich man. If you even go to his house in Israel today, he was living among the rich. He was a great, successful fisherman. He knew the waters. Who knows what I'm talking about now? He knew the waters. And they were fighting the fight. But when they saw Jesus, they cried out and said, it's a ghost. Because fear will always close your eyes to your breakthrough. My God, I pray the Holy Spirit will help you see this. They sat in the boat. Their breakthrough was there. They couldn't see it. Satan turned their breakthrough around and said, do you see? You're not just fighting a storm, but you're fighting ghosts. You are fighting demonic spirits. You are fighting demonic influences. You are not fighting any demonic spirits this morning. They are under your feet according to the scriptures. You are fighting a devil who has already been defeated more than 2,000 years ago. God wants you to stop seeing ghosts and start to see Him, the author and the finisher of your faith. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Nothing that hell sends your way will stop the destiny on your life. Do you hear me in this place? Stop seeing the ghosts. They saw a ghost in the midst of breakthrough. This is why Jesus had to say, hey, shut up. It's not a ghost, it's me. Be of good cheer. Why be of good cheer? Because wherever God is, there's always breakthrough. There's always happiness. There's always joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Your storm will produce joy. I want you to shout, my storm will produce joy. Now just keep it on the water, right? Just keep that on the water. Just keep it on the water. Hierdie groepie is wakker. So there were shouts going on. When Peter heard the Lord say, it is I. Peter was the one. It wasn't Thomas. I think I was besig om Thomas wakker te kry. Thomas was passed out. Fear gripped him. Who knows what I'm talking about when fear comes? Tie word losgemaak. That's what fear does. It grips you. Suddenly you can't see clear. You feel dizzy in your head. That's what fear does. So Peter, I can see Peter. Peter's looking at the ghost and he's turning to the boat and he's looking and he's turning and he's looking and he's turning back and he's got two things that he sees. He sees a boat full of people that's crying out, we are dying. We are dying. We're not going to make it to the other side. God help us. It's a ghost. And he saw Judas pickpocketing. In any case. And then Peter did something. He said, my God, if it's you, here's the key. He didn't say, ask me to come. He said, you better command me to come. It changes everything. It changes everything. When God asked him to come, Peter knew in his own flesh, he would have said, no ways. I'm not built to walk on the water. Peter knew when it is a command out of the word. Peter did not walk on the water. Peter did not walk on the water. Peter walked on the word, come. This is why Peter had to tell Jesus, Lord, I can only come when word is applied. My God. Het jy net gehoor wat ek gesê het? Peter couldn't walk. Peter couldn't get out of that water until the word is applied. This is why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'm giving you revelation this morning. Peter didn't say, ask me to come, Lord, or ask me maybe if I want to come. He said, Lord, if you command me, there's something in your command that will get me moving. There's something in your faith, Lord, that will get me stirred up in this boat. And Peter had to make the decision. Peter, I think that Peter thought to himself, I refuse to die with people who do not want to live. Peter thought to himself, it's safer outside the boat than inside the boat. Peter saw inside the boat they're trampling each other. They're going to tear each other apart out of fear. Peter said to himself, I'd rather take my chances on something that I've not been created to walk on. But Lord, if it be you, If it was Satan, Satan couldn't command. Satan cannot command the word. He can speak about the word, but he cannot command the word. There's one commander and chief, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the bright the morning star. Oh, come on, somebody in this house. Command me. Command me, Lord. I want you to shout, command me. Come on, command me. Say, Lord, if you command me to come, you can't just tell me to come. You can't just ask me if I want to experience it. You have to command me according to your word. Jesus, let me help you out. In John 1 says the word became flesh. Jesus is the word. So in other words, he is the word walking on the water. Follow me. The word is walking on the water. Why? The word cannot fail. The word cannot sink. The word cannot change. The word. So when Peter saw, there's an opportunity for me to experience the supernatural. Do you know what? When Peter said, Lord, if it be you, command me to walk. Jesus didn't say, okay, Peter, come. Not one scripture that says, the Lord said, Peter, come. The scripture in Acts of Acts says, come. Jesus made an open invitation to anybody that wants to experience the supernatural. Peter was the only one who says, I'm taking this at your command. You command me. This is why Jesus says, go into all the world. Go is a commandment. When God commands you to go, it means that he will go with you and the signs shall follow. The signs shall follow is not a maybe. The signs that will follow is that which follows the command. Is somebody listening to me? When Jesus says, go heal the sick, cleanse lepers, it's a command. Signs and wonders follows the command of his word. This is why the centurion came to Jesus and he said, I have a servant sick at home. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house, testing him. The servant said, I don't need you to come to my house. I need you to speak the word only. I need you to fill my spirit with faith. And faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You just need to speak a word. Just command, Lord, and everything at my house will be different. I command in the name of Jesus, every storm that you're facing this morning, every opposition, in the name of Jesus, be thou removed. I command you to be blessed. I command you in the name of Jesus to be blessed from your head to the soles of your feet. I command you in the name of Jesus, get out of that boat and start to walk. And while you're getting out, you tell that fear, you stay here. I want you to shout hallelujah in this place. The book of Mark says the following, which Matthew and John doesn't say. The book of Mark says Jesus was about to walk past them. Why? Think about this for a second. First of all, when they saw him walk on the water, they couldn't see him because fear gripped them. The book of Mark says, oh, Jesus is about to, here's the boat, my pulpit is the boat. And, it's a ghost, and he's about to walk past them. Why? Because God is always moving. And fear will get you to a place where you're still. Many people miss God. Many people say, Lord, speak to me, what's the next move? He's already moving. But fear keeps you in a one position. Fear keeps you in that boat. There's nothing good in that boat. That boat is a comfort zone. There's many people here that's afraid of leaving your comfort zones, afraid of doing the next step for maybe I'm going to miss it out on this. Listen, God is a moving God. He's always going from glory to glory. We miss God. We miss God. Do you know what I love about Abraham? The scripture says, I love this. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, yes, Lord. Which means that Abraham had a conversation with God first. Before that, Abraham had a conversation with God. Remember when God called Abraham to sacrifice his son, he didn't say Abraham. He said, Abraham, Abraham. When God calls you once, it's for conversation. When God calls you twice, it's for covenant. Abraham knew the conversation. But this time, God says, I'm not here to play games with you or to have just conversation with you. I'm about to make a covenant with you that the nations of the world will experience because of you. When God calls you, and this is the thing I said to the Lord last night. I said to the Lord last night, if you want something to be done, please don't come to me after you've been at four different people. Come to me first. Because many times God says, are you going to do it? Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. And you don't do it. And then God says, okay, number two, will you do it? Yes, Lord. And then eventually God has to go to number three, and number three does it. God wants you to be number one. When God comes to you, this is why when God says come, when Jesus said come, Peter was number one who says there's no way that I'm dying if people don't want to live. I want to tell you this morning, you have to make a decision who you allow close to you. You have to make a decision who you allow in your boat. Don't allow anybody just in your boat for the sake of comfort. Oh, it's quiet. It's so quiet. Don't allow anybody in your boat for the sake of comfort. Most people in your boat are not rowing the same direction as you. Most people, when the storm struck, they are fighting each other. There's confusion in the camp. This is why you have to know your tribe. You have to know who you can allow close to you and who you have to sit out there and say, I love you, but for my next... I love you, but for my next... You have to... The scripture says Jairus' daughter died. Jesus walked into the room with people that's crying and fearing. And he said, hang on, I want you to go out. Let me perform a miracle. If God looks at you this morning, will he say, stay with me and pray? Or will he send you out and say, just wait outside while I'm doing something spectacular? Imagine those people who were offended. When they said, no, we're not leaving. Jesus said, well, I can't do nothing. Goodbye. All right, Lord, we'll leave. When they left and stood outside, God did a miracle. When Abraham sacrificed something that was worth so much value to him, when he got to the mountain, what did he say to his servants? Stay here. I love you, but my next. For my next, you're going to sink the boat. Every time when you have to tell people, wait here, and you go on to the next, that's when you get out of the boat. I left my fear on the boat. I relinquish all control. I want you to say, I relinquish all control. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to crucify yourself and then follow me. Relinquish means I give up the control. I try to keep this boat sailing, but now I'm giving it over to you, Lord. I really can't care. If the boat breaks, I'm walking. Do you know what your enemies will do? Your enemies will see you walk on water and they will say the only reason why you're walking on water is because you can't swim. But you better get out on that water and start to walk on that water. When the boat breaks, you walk. And when you get tired of walking, you run. And when you can't run, you fly. But come on, greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Come on, if you believe that, give Jesus a great shout of praise. Come on, give him a great shout of victory. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to a couple of Peters. You're looking back in the boat, you see those people telling you you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. If the boat breaks, the anchor holds. You were supposed to drown already, but the anchor just got you. Do you know what happens with an anchor? An anchor doesn't stay up on top of the water. The anchor fights the deep so you can stay on top. God fights the deep so you can stay on top. Peter had to say, brothers, I love you. But I'm on to my next. Imagine the storm that went on. The Bible says, in actual fact, the scripture says the storm was boisterous. It was fierce. Peter said, I'm safer out there than in here. Yeah. I'm going to speak to this people on this side. It's safer out there than in the boat. In the boat will keep you away from your miracle. You have been created to be a miracle carrier. You carry breakthrough on the inside of you. Somebody listening to me. This is why you get three kinds of people in life. You get the caretakers, the risk takers, and the undertakers. You're a risk taker. You forget about the caretakers and the undertakers. The caretakers and the undertakers will shout, hey, klim terug, jy gaan vrek. When Peter got out of that boat, I can just picture Thomas. Thomas just got back. Oh, yeah. It's a ghost. And then he saw Peter. Oh! Can you picture this? He just passed out. They got him back on. And he was thinking he's dreaming, and now suddenly here's Peter walking. Oh.
There goes again. Here, he's all here. En Judas dank die Here. Halleluja, hou hom besig, hou hom besig. I can see Judas in the back of a boat, hallelujah. Die Pinkster shuffle. Hey! If I die with my pockets full. I think Judas stood up and said, ach, do we really have to die now? I have so many plans. Ik heb een paar schoenen gezien. And Thomas is, and everybody is shouting. And John just speaks about love. Love is gracious, love is kind. And he's just going on about love, and everybody's fighting in the boat, trying to get that boat on. And Peter says, here, you know, I would rather take my chances out there. I can see Peter on the water. They got Thomas back. Thomas shout, Peter, get back, you crazy man. You're gonna die. But can you imagine this when Peter put down his foot on the water? He had to turn around and say, hey, I hear him calling me. I hear him calling me. And his voice is bigger, is more thunderous than the voice of fear. Peter turned and he had to shout, I left my fear on the boat. He absolutely did. Thomas was not on the water with him. Thomas was in the boat. Thomas means twin. Your twin. You've got a twin. Peter left his twin, fear, in the boat. Now don't misquote me. I don't say Thomas and Peter were twins. I say the name Thomas means twin. Everybody that sits in this place, you've got a twin. It's called fear. You fear one or other thing. You might say, that's religious, a religious talk. There's some fear in your life. You fear something. Maybe you fear losing your parents. Maybe you fear losing your children. Whatever, there's a fear in you. But Peter decided that day, that night, I'm leaving my fear in the boat. And I relinquish all control. I refuse. I'm not going to look at the waves. I'm not going to look at the wind. It will not distract me. I hear him calling me. Come on, I said, I hear him calling me. I hear him calling me. I hear the people in the boat tell me I'm not going to make it. I hear them say that I'm going to die. And it would be impossible to do what God has called me to do. But his voice is greater than all my fears. If you believe it, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. So the Bible says Peter was walking, and then the storm that he battled, suddenly Jesus disappeared. If you study the scripture, you'll see that when the winds and the waves were throwing him, it covered his face. He couldn't see Jesus no more. You see, it's easy in life to walk on life's ocean when Jesus is the only constant that you see. Peter walked when his constant was Jesus. I promise you, nobody in this world is constant. He's your only constant. He's the only one whose name is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The great I am. Peter took his eyes away for a split second on the constant. Come on, say with me, he's my constant. And do you know what? When you are closest at your breakthrough, everything turns dark. Suddenly, the light disappeared. And darkness came. And when darkness came, he started trembling. I can just picture that. The people in the boat shouted, I told you so. Peter didn't fail because he sank. They failed for not getting out of the water. When God calls you, and this is what I believe. I believe God's not calling you this morning for conversation. God's calling you to covenant this morning. You're not going to hear Gert. You're going to hear Gert, Gert. Come on. Do you hear me? You're not going to hear Dylan. You're going to hear Dylan, Dylan. For God is about to make covenant with his people. People who makes a decision this morning that say, I'm leaving my fear on that boat. Fear will always cripple your vision. Let me quickly teach you something. When the Bible says when the wind became boisterous against Peter, he no longer saw Jesus and he no longer heard Jesus. Who called Peter out on the water? It was Jesus. But this is what fear does. Fear will cripple what you hear. This is why Peter didn't say, Lord, ask me to come. Peter said, command me to come. In other words, don't speak to my flesh. Speak to my spirit, man. The one that absorbs the word. You didn't hear me now. If you ask me to come, my flesh has got a choice. I feel good or I don't feel good. But if you command me, you are speaking to my spirit, man. For the spirit, man, is what takes the word of God, drinks it, and eats it. Your flesh can feel how bad. Your spirit, man, will always recite scripture.